You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Sweden's Alex Noren captures an impressive third European Tour title of the season with victory at the British Masters supported by Sky Sports.
It's an amazing feeling and, you know, honestly, I never thought this would happen, though.
We will speak exclusively to Alex Noren later in the programme. And we'll also hear from the tournament host, Luke Donald.
Obviously a little disappointed for me on the course, but off the course it couldn't have gone any better. And it was a real privilege and honour to be host this week and to have such a worthy champion in Alex.
We'll review all the action from the Grove and then look ahead to the next stop on the Race to Dubai, the Portugal Masters. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Richard Boxall, a man not unaccustomed to winning golf tournaments around the world. But isn't Alex Noren doing well of late, Richard?
Slightly. I mean, he's had three wins in his last eight tournaments, not in the last 8 weeks, when his last eight events he's played in, he's had three wins. That's a brilliant season for most people. That's a brilliant career.
Yeah, it's a very good career.
Yeah, it is.
And he'll be a guy that's going after the winning most Swede.
He will be. I like the way he plays though, Rob. You know, virtually every tee, he'll peg it up on the right-hand side. You know, he knows what he's going to do. He's going to move it left to right. And even if you got the breeze off the left, you see, I don't know whether you saw his tee shot on 18 yesterday at the final hole, he hit it miles left with a left-to-right breeze on that par 5. Wasn't even going to attempt to bring that right-hand bunker into play.
Almost like a right-handed Bubba Watson.
Yeah, not far off. But, I mean, the breeze helped it. And then when he fights against the right-to-left breeze, he doesn't try and draw it. He just does his normal shot. Lands a little softer on the fairway. He didn't miss too many of those either, I've got to say.
How good was his pitch at the last?
His pitch at the last was excellent. I thought he actually, when he did his second shot, I thought he was a bit nearer than that. But he had 60, I think it was 60 or 64 yards to the pin, on a little bit of an upslope, but played it in beautifully low. And he actually, in his interview, admitted that he doesn't actually really like those shots. I thought he'd fly all the way, but it doesn't make any difference yet. He had the one-shot lead and played a beautiful pitch to about 18 inches, I suppose.
Yeah, it was
one by two in the end.
I think he was probably quite comfortable coming up the last because he could par the last and win by a shot, and it was a par 5.
It is, but you know how negative thoughts can somehow get in.
Whoa,
you
yes.
know, you knock it to 18, 20 feet.
Some more than others.
Yes, and then you putt it two feet by and they go, well, he'll just knock that one in.
Three-shot lead, Richard, starting the day.
Yeah.
It's a good lead, but it's not one that you think, oh, this is over.
No, it's not over. I think the players that were behind would have been quite happy that it was a breezy, rainy day to start with. I mean, admittedly, they pulled play and they cancelled 45 minutes of play, which that did happen in Portugal a few years ago. But other than that, I can't remember the last time they made a round null and void.
Perfect start. Two birdies.
Oh, two birdies. Yeah. As Bland, you know, went birdie-birdie looking for his first win, I thought, you know, maybe this is going to be his week. But then at the end, I mean, how expensive was the last? Dropped two shots in the last three holes for Bland. I mean,
and the last hole's a par 5, too.
And he missed from
4 feet,
which would have won him 150,000.
He has got himself in position so many times because he's just playing so well.
Yeah, he finished with 71 yesterday. And I'll say that was with dropping two shots in the last three. But, yeah, yes. He was 28th in the race to Dubai, Robert, going into this week.
He's having his best season ever.
He's had seven top tens now.
But he's...
Third is his best finish.
He's trying to address what to do in the final round to play like he's... with the freedom he plays in rounds one and two.
Yeah, well...
Because every week he's right in there at the halfway stage.
He is.
Every week.
And the thing is, Rob, he's 43 now. It's not like he's, you know, 22.
It's an Indian summer, isn't it?
It's an Indian summer. I think probably a sports psychologist would help.
Oh, I'm sure that's going on. That's ongoing, that sort of thing.
Well, it might be because he's having a great year.
Yeah. He's doing a lot of things
right.
If
he keeps knocking on the door, Robert, which is such a cliche, isn't it? But, I mean, if he keeps knocking on the door...
The thing is, the amount of chances you get, it's finite. It's not infinite. It is finite. Eventually, you don't get the chances anymore.
No, well, eventually it'll run out.
So you've got to step in there and with your jack boots and take them.
I always think with Richard, you know, that he might be one of those players that goes out in the sort of third, fourth, fifth last group, shoots 62 or 3, and then sits in there. And
that might be how it happens.
Yeah. He deserves one.
Yeah, he certainly played well enough to be a champion this year, no doubt about that. Wiesberger looked very impressive.
Wiesberger was very good. What did he finish with in the end? 67, 267s at the weekend. So, you know, good playing for Wiesberger. No wins yet this season. Again, a man that's pushing up nicely up the world rankings, pushing up well up the race to Dubai. Where is he?
Got to see him as a future Ryder Cupper, haven't you,
Wiesberger? Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to see the man we're going to speak to next as a future Ryder Cupper, Alex Noren. And thankfully for us, he's joining us now on the Race to Dubai show live. Alex, how are you? Three wins in 8 weeks, that's incredible.
Well, it's I'm very happy about these wins, and I never expected these all together in the same season. It feels unreal.
when you came back from injury the latest time and you started feeling good about your swing and stuff, what did you see in front of yourself for the next, let's say, 12 months?
I didn't see much. I just wanted to get into playing again and playing, you know, regularly on tour. And because I know you got to play a few events to get your game back in shape, and especially the short game and the putting. And I was just trying to, play enough tournaments and try to get some top 10 finishes and try to get into it. And then after we had the baby, you know, it went so much better than I could ever expect it. So you can probably hear in the background here. it's been amazing, yeah.
Alex, I know it's 72 holes to win a golf tournament, but there's got to be one hole on there you'd like to take home back to Sweden. It's got to be the 12th, round three, round four. Your second shots there were brilliant.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, the last round shot was a lot tougher than the third round. The third round looked pretty tough, but, it was kind of lucky break to sit on top of the grass, on top of the bunker, and I just had, you know, a go at it, and it ended up good. But the last round was probably one of the best shots I've ever hit. I took a big risk there, and my caddy wasn't very happy with the decision, but he let me go on with it, and it came out all right.
Are you doing anything differently, Alex, over the summer that perhaps you haven't done in your career to this point?
I've joined a golf club without a driving range. So I cannot go on the driving range. I have to play golf and I have to putt and chip. They got a putting green and chipping green, but I cannot go on the driving range, which has helped me because it's a place of, sometimes I, you know, get stuck there, you know, for the whole day and, you know, beat balls until, you know, the hands bleed, and it's probably not the best thing for me. So I've played a lot more rounds off the tournament side, you know, so it's even during days when it doesn't feel very good, I'm trying to get the ball around somehow. And that, I think that's a big help when you get to a tournament. You don't have to play perfect golf. You just have to find a way to get around.
Did you join that club on purpose because it didn't have a range? Was that a decision?
Well, it was a decision, but it's also, you know, one of the best golf courses in Sweden. And it's also, you know, a jack design that the greens are really undulated, very, very tough greens. And quite a shortish course. It was also good for my wedge game, because my wedge game has been maybe my weakest part of the game, and now it's gone a lot better.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Ulna. You might have played
it. Ulna! Oh, we love Ulna.
Listen, Ulna.
They redesigned it. Jack came back and redesigned it.
Not too much, I hope.
No, it's the same layout, but the greens are definitely a little tougher.
Oh, that is a great fun course to play. I remember it very well. Pitter Panna before you went out onto the golf course, and then straight onto the tee, and whoosh, off you go. Plenty of par fives to start with, and water. Great fun. What a good move, Alex. Yeah. What a good move from you.
Yeah, I think it's good for me.
Yeah. So what about going forward now? You're up to fourth in the race to Dubai. Everything's good. Are you now starting to set targets, or do you know what? I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Well, I'm really happy about a lot of things in the game, obviously playing good, but I'm trying to, you know, sort the driver out a little bit, trying to hit it maybe a little bit more draw off the tee. I haven't been very comfortable with that, so maybe gain a few yards, you know, because I know the golf course is coming up, you know, especially China, Dubai and South Africa. You need a bit of distance to not lose any advantage to the long hitters. And so I try to work on a few things and not focus so much on the result.
But, you know, Alex, you're getting quite, you know, worldly recognised now. I mean, you're up to 18th in the world rankings now.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never thought that.
Well, you're going to have to get your head around it, Alex. I'm afraid you're very low-key and you're very modest, but you are going to get your head around the fact that you are a very good player. That, I would think, must be quite enjoyable.
Yeah, well, I know I can play good, and I'm very proud of myself that I pulled it off yesterday, because it didn't feel that great in the middle of the round. I grew as a player because of that, and so I'm just modest, because I think golf is a tough game, and I've had my bad stuff, and I know it's a tough game, so I'm not being cocky because I know how tough it is. But obviously I know also that I'm proud of myself for pulling through, and I grow as a player.
What about Alex, I know there's a qualifying time for the Ryder Cup selection, but I think you'd have been very handy for us, to be quite honest, Aiden Hazeltine.
Well, we never know that, but I'm focusing on the next one.
I'm sure you'll be there.
Yeah, all you got to do is focus on the first tee on Thursday in Portugal. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, that's your tournament, isn't it?
From me to you, Alex, I really want you to own a fifth major championship.
And from me to you, Alex, I want to say I look forward to you very much playing in the sort of 7 or 8 million euro tournament called the Italian Open, the fifth major next year.
That's right. Yeah. It will be a biggie next year, the Italian Open. So, listen, Alex, fantastic playing. You've given us a big thrill over the summer. Your career's definitely on the up and up. And I think you've worked it out. You've figured it out, how to play golf and keep doing it.
Thank you very much. And see you guys soon.
Absolutely, yeah, well, Alex. You take Alex. Care. Love all to the right. family.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
7 wins now for Alex Noren. Moves to 4th in the Race to Dubai and to 18th in the official world golf rankings from 26th. It's the first time he's been inside the top 20. He will definitely be going to the Masters because he'll be inside the top 50 time we get to Christmas.
Yep.
So that's another massive bonus. And I would think he'll play all 4 majors next year. Joins Freddie Jakobsen and Johan Edfors as Swedish players to win 3 times in a European Tour season. This victory is his 7th top 10 finish in his last 15 appearances, and he has won 3 of his last 8 European Tour events, as we said to him in our interview. And he moves into 3rd place in the list of most prolific Swedish winners. So he is behind, with 7 wins, who? Carlsen's won 11, he's at the top. Who's the guy in 2nd?
I don't think there's a 2nd. I'd say it's tied. I'd say it's Henrik Stenson with 11.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good call, Rich. Stenson at 11 with Carlsen, and then the next guy is Alex Noren.
And I think he'll pass 11 in the next 3 years.
Here's the thing, though, because Stenson's still very current, he may pass 11 and still not be the top winning Swede.
Yes, that also is very true, Robert.
OK, let's hear from the man who finished runner-up to Noren at the Grove, Austria's Bernd Wiesberger.
Unfortunately, this week it was not quite my week on the greens, where I didn't really get into a flow like the last few weeks, but... all in all, it's been obviously a quite good week. Finishing high in a strong field like this obviously brings positive vibes into the final couple of events this year.
When you get that late birdie and you tie for the lead, I take it anything can happen, can't it?
Yeah, you know, I had a good look at it at 16. You know, Tommy gave me a line, just pulled it, maybe had a bit too firm on it. I would have loved to see that drop, obviously, and then we just took a decision up 18, and you know, it wasn't the best of lies, but we made a decision, just didn't come off as we wished, and I couldn't get up and down, so I would have loved to squeeze another birdie in there, give him something to think about coming up the last, but still very happy with my performance.
He is a very good player, Bernd Wiesberger. If there's one thing that you, for him to tweak and improve slightly to just make that little mini jump that he's got to make, what would it be?
I don't think there is one, really. The only thing I think he would probably need to work on would be mental side, if anything. Game's fine.
I mean, strikes the ball beautifully, so...
Yeah, and you need a bit of luck, Rob, don't you? You've got to get the right bounce here and there, and, you know, it just... I mean, he's a good player.
267s at the weekend?
Yeah, it's good golf. There's us going, what do you need to tweak 267s, 8 under for the weekend? Nothing.
Lee Westwood finished 3rd. He played very well all week long, and a return to both form and focus.
Yeah, it has been a successful week. Obviously, the Ryder Cup was disappointing for many reasons, for everybody, really. And then last week, I struggled to get back into it and get my tournament head on. But this week, everything's been back together and played well. Everything was good and nice performance, top 3, so I'm pleased with that.
What really made the difference this week?
Just my attitude, really. You know, just back to focusing properly and scoring all right. I think Alex is playing very well at the moment and he's a pretty good front runner. So it's always going to be difficult to catch him, especially on a day when scoring was going to be difficult. But I had my chances and it was always on. And in the back of your mind, you're always open and wishing that it's on. But I'm pleased with the 67. I played pretty solid today.
Good recovery from Lee Westwood after, well, it was, as he said, him and his teammates had a difficult Ryder Cup.
You've played well. You've got a field of 120
yeah,
and you finished
well.
3rd. I mean, it speaks for itself, doesn't it, really?
Oh, let's talk about someone who finished 4th. It was a disappointed Richard Bland.
Yeah, with 6 to play, I thought it was there. It was anybody's, really. And thought I hit a good shot at 16 and it just hit the wind a little bit. And, yeah, I hit poor chip. It just kind of came out with no spin and just went by. And then 17, I didn't think I hit that poor tee shot at 17. And it's just got... You couldn't put it in a worse place. And, you know, it's tough. But, yeah, I'll keep trying. But... Yeah, hopefully that's got me nearer top 100 in the world. I've got the HSBC now, which is, yeah, if someone had offered me that at the start of the year, I'd probably laughed at them. But, yeah, I've got to get over the disappointment of this. But, yeah, I've got 4 unbelievable weeks to come, and, yeah, I keep trying.
Great thing about Rich is he's kind of used to having this story on a Sunday, and he's also used to playing great golf over the first 2 or 3 days. That's been the pattern.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I
but it must happen, Richard, that he plays the same golf over the first 3 days and he plays like that on the last day. That must come along somewhere.
I would have thought so. The amount of times I've done the commentary this year and you know, the first page of the leaderboard before you go off to a break or something. His name's always on it.
He gets off to a flying start every single week, and his level of golf is very, very high. So he's playing well, Richard Bland. Disappointed, but still another consistent week. Richard, the top 10 from the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports, please.
OK, I like the way you put that, Robert. In a tie for ninth, Richard Stearney, South African Tyrrell Hatton, at 12 under par. And then there was a big tie for fourth. It was Richard Bland, Tommy Fleetwood, Peter Hansen, Alexander Levy and Graham McDowell. They were all at 13 under. Third spot on his own was Lee Westwood. Bert Wiesberger was one better at 16 under. Second on his own and all alone at the top was Alex Norén from Sweden. Third win in eight events.
Let's hear now from the tournament host, Luke Donald.
Obviously a little disappointing for me on the course, but off the course it couldn't have gone any better. And it was a real privilege and honour to be host this week and to have such a worthy champion in Alex. I think he played some great golf. The Grove held up nicely, you know, had a lot of responsibilities to promote this event, to make it unique, to work hand in hand with Sky Sports and try and really bring some innovation to our game, get young people involved that wouldn't ordinarily be involved. Did a good project with some kids, getting them to design the pin flag on 16 and things like that, a hero challenge on Tuesday. So there's been a lot going on, but it's been a fun and successful week.
It certainly was, Richard. Did you see some of the Hero Challenge on Tuesday? A new innovation. Eight players getting whittled down to one, playing a par three, and they decided who went through by either the best score in the hole or, if they were tied, nearest the pin with the tee shot.
Yes, I did see that. In fact, Robert, so much so that I was sitting at home having a soft drink, and I thought, oh, the Hero Challenge is on. I better put that on. Presented by Robert Lee and Sarah Sturck. And I thought to myself, this is what golf needs. It was absolutely brilliant.
1 hour.
No, it was great. It was great fun. Actually, the pros looked a bit nervous.
Shane Lowry, I was up on the stage, Sarah's down the green, and while she was interviewing, I was chatting to the boys that were with me on the stage. And I looked at Shane, I was laughing at him, and he said, "I'm nervous."
Is he Welsh?
He just said, I put the dramatic pause in there for the word I'm trying to omit, which you wouldn't, you know, you think all the times you teed up in majors, you win WGCs, you know, last group at the US Open, all that sort of stuff that wouldn't be a thing that would make you nervous. But it was players out of their comfort zone.
It was, because there's flames going off when they hit the ball and they're screaming and shouting, you know, which never goes on.
And a live audience that were almost Ryder Cup-ish.
Up for it. No, that was good. There was a few other things. You know, the Hawkeye Green Reader I thought was good. That would have been top of the race in Dubai. There's no question about it, that they showed on the screen the track of the line of the putt.
Well, you know, all these things, are shot traces have been the biggest boon to TV golf that's ever been.
Second shots into par fours and stuff.
Oh, the shot trace is just brilliant.
What about the...
Because so much so, when you don't see the shot tracer, you're thinking, where is it?
Yes, no, I totally agree. Kart cam as well. It's like a little dog that was going around.
I saw that little four-wheel drive thing. It was quite rapid, wasn't it, across
McDowell
the floor?
McDowell wanted one. McDowell said, I want one of those.
And we had the putting challenge. A lot of kids involved in that. A lot of stuff going on. And I think that's the future. You've got to drive people to the event. Why should I go to that event? Well, because this is happening. This is happening.
Most definitely. Plus Sky giving out 20,000 tickets. You could
on the Thursday, just for one day.
I know, I understand why sponsors don't do free entry, but if you could just do free entry to people make a tournament.
It's Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come.
They will.
And they will come. Great fans. Thanks to everyone who turned up at the Grove. Really, really good atmosphere. Now, another thing to happen at the Grove was the start of an academic study designed to help golfers at all levels improve their game. It's exploring a number of factors that might affect golf performance, including the optimal way to prepare for a shot. Here's the European Tour's chief executive, Keith Pelly.
Well, you know, the players are constantly asking for more data, more analytics. RSM was a perfect company to partner with to create such a platform. You know, anything from how long, and this is actually how it all started when we first discussed it, was how long are players over the ball? And if they're over the ball less, are they more likely to score better, or if they're over the ball more? And when we took that to the players, they really embraced it, and they said, yeah, we'd like as much data as we can. So this hopefully is the first of many experiments that we have coming with RSM.
One of the things that you've mentioned since taking over was the desire to speed play up. Might this have a bearing on that as well?
Well, we certainly hope that the players that take a little less over the ball are more successful, that's for sure. But no, I think in this particular era of sports and of society. Data and analytics are everything, and we're going to try to create as many different ways of getting information to our players, because that's what they've requested, and we're a members organization, and as a result, we will do as much as we can for them.
My thanks to Nick Dyer. Always does a great job for us on the Race to Dubai show, chatting to all the players and to Keith Pelly there right at the very end. Now, fancy Race to Dubai tips. I went for, sadly, Alex Levy. Not sadly because I chose Alex Levy. He finished fourth. Very well played, the Frenchman again. But sadly because Jamie Spence went for Bernd Wiesberger, who finished second. So I got pipped by the Spence. But a better performance, fourth and second.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. Two top fives for you two. I just thought I'm going to have to pick one for the Portugal.
Well,
Masters,
you will. You'll have your chance very shortly. Can we please have the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings?
We can. Lee Westwood is in 10th. Chris Wood is 9th. 8th spot is Brandon Grace. Louis Oosthuizen is 7th. Rafa Cabrera Bayo is 6th. Tyrrell Hatton, after his win week before last, just gone, is now 5th. 4th is Alex Norén, after yesterday's victory. Rory McIlroy occupies 3rd. 2nd is Henrik Stenson. And still leading the way, but with an injured back, is Danny Willett.
Now, the big thing with the Portugal Masters coming up, Richard, tournaments are starting to run out for players that are not inside the 110.
They are, and it's a horrible spot to be in. We've both been in it ourselves, Robert. You know what it's like. You're actually playing two tournaments in one. You're playing the tournament, which is the Portugal Masters, and you're trying to win the tournament, and you're also trying to keep your card as well. So it's a horrible spot to be in. What amazes me is the players that actually do come running in with a top 10 finish. I myself had the same feeling. I hadn't done anything all year, and I need to finish in the top 7, I think, or 8 to keep my card in Portugal. And I end up finishing, I think I finished 4th. And you think, well, where's that been all year?
Well, Richard Bland was a perennial kind of floating around that part of the Ordre Mer at the Race to Dubai. Yeah. Until he took care of business early this year and he's flying, really. So for all the players that seem to find themselves around that 110 spot, you've got to look at Richard Bland and say, actually, you know, there is another career here. I can push on from here. I don't have to be stuck in this position.
There's a lot going on between 106th and 112th, Robert, on the Race to Dubai. Top 110 keep their card. There's only 5,000 points.
It's going to be someone makes a cut, someone misses a cut, Richard. That'll be enough.
That will be. That's all it'll be.
How many events left?
One.
So this is it, Rich?
This is it. Yeah, it's a horrible spot to be in. And I think the line you can take from it, or the note you can take from it, is just make sure you're never there again.
Now, on the fancy Race to Dubai, Neil Falk's team, putting for dough, secured the most points from the British Masters, supported by Sky, with Alex Norén as captain, Wiesberger as vice-captain. I mean, he's got the winner and the second-place player there as well. And three of those who tie for fourth in his selection. That is incredible tipping. Thomas Edling, though, still leads the overall standings. And remember, check out the European Tour website this week, the Fantasy 3 to watch at the Portugal Masters. Now, in other news, on the European Challenge Tour, Alexander Canepa claimed his second title in style with a 5-under-par round of 67 at the Heinen Open to secure a European Tour card for next season. Well done, he. On the PGA Tour, England's Paul Casey claimed his 4th successive top 4 finish without victory as American Brendan Steele won the Safeway Open in Napa, in California. Steele birdied the last three holes to beat overnight leader Patton Kizzire by a stroke. Casey tied for third. Phil Mickelson and Scotland's Martin Laird also had top 10 finishes. Top 10, please, Richard, in the world, if you wouldn't mind.
OK, 10th spot, Ricky Fowler. 9th is Danny Willett. Bubba Watson's 8th. Patrick Reed is 7th. The Australian Adam Scott is 6th. Henrik Stenson, Swede, is 5th. 4th is Jordan Spieth. Rory McIlroy is 3rd. Dustin Johnson is 2nd. And Jason Day, the Australian, still leads the way.
And by the way, news of a tournament win for former Open and Masters champion Sandy Lyle. He regained the World Hickory Open title with a 10-shot victory at Panmure. Competitors play with hickory clubs similar to those used over a century ago and vintage golf attire as well. I mean, I would think if Sandy's trussed up in a jacket and tie that's really medium when he's an extra large.
Yeah.
He's about the only guy that could still swing in that. Do you remember the old waterproofs?
Jacket.
Sandy would keep them on.
Oh, he loved
them.
Remember
that?
Didn't restrict
him at all. Such a strong man. Well done, Sandy Lyle. Now, the next event on the European Tour is indeed the aforementioned Portugal Masters, where Andy Sullivan is the defending champion. Two players who'll be teeing it up at Victoria Club de Golf are Ryder Cup star Thomas Peters and the 2010 Portugal Masters champion Australia's Richard Green.
You know, the golf course is nice and fair to play and can be really enjoyable if your game's on. You know, the golf course sort of allows you to make a lot of birdies, and that's what I did in 2010, and, you know, hopefully I can repeat it again this year.
I really, really like that place. I've been going there 3 years in a row, I think, and I play there as an amateur as well. I like the town, I like the golf course, the whole vibe about it. Usually it's nice weather, so it's nice to get out of Belgium and get some warm weather and kind of prepare for the last stretch of the season. The course sets up really nicely for me.
Nice course, Richard.
Yeah, it is a nice course. Good finish. You've got a fair bit of water coming in over the last few holes. 18th, a fantastic driving hole, good finishing hole, water that cuts in all the way around the left-hand side. You get some great pin positions down that left-hand side. We've seen some good finishes over the years.
Field, Richard, give us a sense of the field.
Feel a sense of the field. You've got Alexander Levy playing, Robert Carlsen, Padraig Harrington, Wai Yang, two major champion winners there. Thomas Peters, Alex Norren, last week's winner, Andy Sullivan from the Ryder Cup side. He's playing Jai D, winner this year already on the European Tour, James Morrison, Richie Ramsey, Pablo Larrazábal. I mean, do you want me to carry on?
Yes.
Do you? You do want me to carry
on? Yes.
Well, I'll have to turn the page then. Anthony Wall, who played well last week. Mark Warren, good finish at the Alfred Dunhill Links, finished fifth. Went from 125th on the race in Dubai up to 70th again. Had a pretty good week again last week. Alejandro Canizares, who I had a little bit of dinner with on Wednesday night at the Grove. Thomas Bjorn's playing. Also, Tommy Fleetwood's playing.
Which brings me to the picks. He is my pick for the week, Tommy Fleetwood.
Fleetwood.
Yes.
Excellent stuff. I'm going to go and really put my neck on the block, Robert. I think
I'm going to go the other Thomas, are you?
No, I'm going to go another Thomas. I'm going to go Thomas Peters, I think, after
the
Ryder Cup.
Oh, you really, really stuck your neck out there, Rich.
After the Ryder Cup, Robert, he's a little rest. He's ready to go again.
Well, he has played since the Ryder Cup, of course. He came straight across and played the Dunhill Links and was in very good position after a couple of rounds and sort of fell away after that. Should be a terrific week. Great field at the Portugal Masters and hopefully some excellent weather for the players. And good luck once again to all those who are going down there trying to save their career. They've got one tournament left to get it done. It's got to happen over the four rounds in Portugal. Marvellous stuff. That's it for now. Please join us next week when we will review the Portugal Masters and look ahead to the WGC HSBC Champions in Shanghai. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And tweet us your questions to @EuropeanTour with a hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for
Thomas Peters,
and myself, Robert Lee, who's gone for Tommy Fleetwood, it's goodbye.